Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Greetings and welcome. Thanks for joining us today on Faith in Your Recovery. I'm Randy Davis. I'm your host. We're thankful you're with us. Hope you let some friends know. You'll continue to listen in. You'll go ahead and subscribe. And by all means, if you have a question for myself or for a guest that I'll introduce in just a moment, go ahead. Text that in the in the spot there. We want to be able to help answer those questions. Our guest today is Julia Moles. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for inviting me to do this today. Hopefully, I can help someone out there. That's what my goal is with this. So definitely, if any of you have questions, definitely feel free to ask.
That's our overall goal, is to help those we can. Maybe just to show them a thread of light that they can follow that they've not seen before, give them the answer to their long-asked question, or any other way we can include them and excite them about their recovery. Let's go ahead. Tell the folks what life's about right now for you, Julia, and then we'll get into that backstory.
Life is such a blessing for me right now. I have been clean for some time.
How long?
I have been clean since March 5th.
Congrats.
Thank you. I am back in school. I've got a 4.0 at CTU, which is Colorado Tech University.
What are you studying?
I am studying criminology and also human services. My goal is to help people in recovery and become a counselor.
Awesome.
That's what my goal is. I've also got Jesus in my life now, which is definitely why I'm here today. Picking me up out of that grave whenever I attempted suicide. So him being a part of my life is very important in my recovery.
We want to hear about that after a while, but we'll work that in chronologically a little more, okay?
Instead of
doing a lot of hunting and pecking.
Let's go
back to early life. What was early life like for you, Julia, those elementary years?
Oh, not the easiest time. I came from a family that definitely was not well off. My dad did have cerebral palsy. Even though he tried really hard to take care of us children, he struggled with that. He didn't know how to show his emotions the way that a parent should. He wasn't very caring in some aspects, to the point that a parent should be, I guess. Even though he tried, he did do the best he possibly could. He had some issues himself that carried on over. That's not really my story to tell on that one. But there was a lot of issues growing up. I was also raised in group homes because of my dad's abuse to me. And so that was a struggle. Just being raised in group homes, some of those was not the best. So some of those were actually worse than the home life.
What was that age range when you were living through that?
That started about the age of 13. I did spend some time with my grandfather. When he started realizing the abuse was going on, he got me out of my parents' home. And so he took care of me until his health started going south on him. And that's when I was turned over to the group homes and foster care. There were times I still went home, like home visits and that kind of thing. Sometimes they were good. Sometimes they weren't so good. Part of that is I really had a hard time dealing with that because my brother and sister was left in the home. So there was a lot of guilt that I carried on, even though that there were certain situations I was in that was actually worse. Leaving them behind was really hard.
Are they younger than you? They
are younger than me.
So there were three of you?
There were three of us, yes.
Okay.
There's about 12 years between my brother and I, and then my sister is the baby of the family.
Okay. So what age were you able to get out of those group homes and look at life on your own more so?
I was 18. I wasn't allowed to go back to my parents' home full time. So from that age up until the age of 18, I was in group home and foster care, yes.
Okay. What did it look like then once you turned 18 and you're kind of set free from that?
Scary, because I really didn't have any influences. I didn't know how to go about life. I didn't know how to move forward. So I was, besides the time that I would go home and visit, it was so structured. I didn't really know how to live. And I think that's another reason why I made some of the poor choices I made, because they were so structured without really telling you, without giving you the tools of how to be an adult. They told you how to behave, and they definitely told you when you wasn't behaving. But there wasn't not family. There was never family. So I didn't know how to live. You know, I didn't know how to be an adult.
So at what age did your addiction issues begin in all of this?
Well, the first time that I actually used anything at all, I was probably about 20, maybe. I had experimented with marijuana. But as far as like what the general would call hardcore wasn't until I was almost 30.
Okay. So you had experimented at 20, but then it sounds like at 30 it must have set in pretty heavy.
Yes.
What did that look like?
Not good. I had had a lot of things that I had going on, dealing with the abuse at home, dealing with the group homes, dealing with losing my daughter. She was taken away from me early on in my marriage because my ex, which is her dad, he had a hard time accepting that I left, and he used her as a bargaining tool and took her away from me. So I really had a hard time dealing with those things. The pain from it, I just wanted a way to escape because I got tired of feeling, and I got to the point that the using was taking that away, and where I just stopped feeling anything at all.
So where are you now relationally with that daughter?
Well, I've tried. Her and I do talk occasionally. It's just that I'm still working on fixing that or trying to make mine and her connection. There's still a lot of hurt on her part, which is totally understandable.
Sure.
She was raised to believe that I didn't want her, and that was never the case at all.
It was the pain you were going through that you didn't want, right?
Yeah.
Then thus the reason for the numbing and everything that went with that. But I get where she could easily take it another way. So,
Yeah.
So how long did this struggle with the drugs on and off? You know, how long did that last? What did that look like?
It was 20 years off and on. My husband, He had left, and that's how we ended up coming here to Tennessee. We both used together. Whenever CPS got involved and took my, almost took my children, I stepped up and took ownership of that to cover for them, because I didn't want them going through the same thing that I went through. So I thought my children being with him at that point was better than them being in group home and foster care. So I took responsibility for that, and I was the one that decided to leave, because the CPS said that either they were going to take my kids or I had to leave and either be in foster or either go to in-house treatment or outpatient. And I decided to go with the inpatient. When I got out, I felt like I was cured at that point, and I ended up in a situation where someone I knew asked if I would go get something for them. And my husband tried to warn me not to do that because he was worried about me relapsing.
This and something was a drug of a type.
Yes, it okay. was. It was a drug. Yes, it was rock cocaine. And I went and got it for him. And during this time, I decided it was like, oh, I can use it this once and I'll be okay. And that definitely was not the case, how it worked out. It definitely did not work out to plan.
Julia, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've heard that I can do it once. That's all it takes. Of course you know that now. You know. But that's all it takes. That's a word of warning to anybody who's listening. Don't tell that lie to yourself. That's not the way it goes. Okay, go ahead.
Well, he ended up taking our children because I could not stay away from it at that point, because that was my escape. You know, that's always been whenever I didn't want to deal with anything, let's go use to hide the pain. So he brought the kids here to Indiana. That's how I ended up here from Tennessee. And he tried for several months to get me to come here. And I was so involved in my using. It was like at that point in my life, because I was hurt from him leaving. I was angry at him for leaving. I was angry with myself above and foremost. And I just felt like they would be better off, you know, if they were here and I was there. So that's why I fought on that for so long to come here.
How long? You know, from when that started to when you decided to come.
It gets to the point that your days just start blending together when you're in that type of darkness. I would say maybe 5 months, maybe, if that long.
That's close enough.
But I did end up coming here, and when I came here, I left all that behind. The main thing that I carried with me is all the pain that I still hadn't dealt with. But when I came here, that's when I stayed clean. Stayed clean for several years, actually. And then I got involved with someone that I worked with. Not like a relationship, but friends with someone. And this person, she had connections and started hanging out with her, and then there I go again, relapsed again. And it was back to the same thing, the coke and smoking the rock, and a few times meth was introduced whenever there was nothing else available. And then I ended up having, my daughter ended up having my granddaughter, Abigail. Well, when she had her, I thought, well, you know, I could put this down, which I did. You know, I left that alone. But that's when the pills kicked in. I was like, okay, I can leave that alone. But it's okay to do the pills as long as I'm not doing that around her. It's okay to do the pills because that was acceptable to me at the time.
Okay. So the pills, how long were you How long did you struggle with those?
Oh, several years. Several years. And then when the pills started becoming hard to get a hold of, that's when my husband introduced me to the heroin. And that owned me for sure. You know, it was like when I got on that, I didn't think I was ever going to come back from that. Everything in my life, everything revolved around using heroin. I couldn't even sleep at night without getting up in the morning, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and having to use. First thing in the morning was using several times throughout the day, just constant. Getting money for heroin, using heroin. It's like I forgot about my family, forgot about everything. It was just that my whole focus was using heroin.
And that obviously took its toll in many ways, yes?
Absolutely.
What was the darkest moment in that heroin use that you recall?
When I felt like my rest of my life was going to be heroin, I got tired. I was just tired of that from morning to night, over and over. It was like I just felt like, almost like I was in the movie Groundhog Day. You know, it was just every day the same thing. And
I'm going to guess you made yourself a promise every day it was going to be different, but then wasn't able to maintain that promise.
Right. Like on the holidays, I would a lot of times not use. And those days were the hardest because here I was trying to be there for my family and I would have the worst withdrawals ever. And it was just, I didn't like that. I didn't like being fake. I didn't like living that same thing day after day. I was tired of hurting my family. I was tired of hurting people that I care about. It just really became so dark and an evil place. You know, I hated myself. I hated everything around me. Was just tired. I just really, really got tired of everything, of life in general.
Earlier, you made mention, now's the time to insert it perhaps, of your attempted suicide. What was, as you recall, my mother was a suicide. She was successful. If you call it that, at least it took her life, okay? But I want to ask you, what is one of the last things you recall prior to the attempt, and what did that attempt look like, and what's brought you to this point today?
Well, I remember calling one of my best friends back home. I remember calling my friend Jennifer and telling her about what had happened. That I was using heroin.
When you say back home, do you mean Tennessee?
Yes. Okay. I called her, and I told her about what was going on, what my life had become, and she had just lost her nephew, one of my other good friend's sons, and here I am telling her, hey, guess what? You know, this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm doing. Without any hesitation whatsoever, she opened up her home to me, which I didn't take her up on it, but she did offer me a place to stay. And she said, we'll get you off of this and we'll get you clean. And that moment right there, I really started, I was like, okay, you know, this isn't working. Whenever someone else, you know, is opening up their home to me, which I'm very thankful, and I'll be thankful forever for her doing that and offering that to me. It really put me in like, okay, you're really not okay right now. You know, you're in a darkest place you've ever been in your life. And this is coming from the same one that had an abusive home, been through way more than any person should ever have to go through in their life. And that was my darkest moment. And that's when I was like, I'm just tired. I'm done.
I want you to continue with that. But before you do, we have a question. So we'll have Eric share that question. will respond and go back. Okay. Pardon the interruption.
All right.
Okay, Eric.
Yeah. Sean wants to know, at what point did you get tired of being sick and tired? Essentially, you know, what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
My husband and I, we had just went to go play a dart tournament, and I had a lot of flashbacks about the times that we lived in Tennessee and the things that that happened in Tennessee, the using, how I disappointed my family, how I disappointed him, and how I disappointed myself, and losing my daughter, and just everything happened. And it was after we had gotten home from that dart tournament, and I was like, I'm just tired. And I knew that I had some Unisom tablets, and there was, because I remember counting them the day before, because I used those to help me sleep from the heroin, because I had a hard time sleeping with that. And I remember counting them the day before, so I knew there was exactly 36 in the bottle, and I took all 36 of those. That's when just that particular moment just triggered everything, triggered my life in general. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm just over it. And that's when I attempted suicide.
What do you think brought you out of that? What moved you forward? And was that a positive or a negative?
Laying on the ground in a dark alley in Dunkirk, I'm assuming it was around 2 to 3 o'clock at night, I'm thinking. Laying there and God sent me my life before and let me see everything from my past, but then he also showed me my future, my family, without me in it. I seen my daughter talking to my granddaughter, and telling her why I'm not here. Seen my son crying over me. I seen all of this like within that moment. And I just remember just screaming out to God, please don't let me die. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I remember just screaming out to him saying, God, please do not let me die. My family needs me. And that's what brought me out of that. Then being in the hospital for 11 days and soul searching and just knowing that I'm not living like that anymore.
I'm highly intrigued here, Julia. You made the statement, you saw your past and your future. Often I've heard how your past will flash before your eyes near the end. You're one of the first I've heard talk about also seeing their future. That's not a doubt. It's just, that's intrigues me that God gave you that. But obviously your past one going to get you to change your future, but your future could get you to change what may happen. I'm sure absolutely, there are better words for that, but yes, that's what I see there. So you said you were in the hospital 11 days, soul-searching, dealing with that. I'm sure medication, adjustment of medication, everything, probably some types of counseling, therapy, whatever.
Yes.
What is it then, once you stepped out of the hospital, that helped you maintain your sobriety?
Seeing my daughter pull up. She's the one that came and picked me up. When I was in the hospital, I had very little communication with anybody from the outside. So when I seen my daughter pull up in, her and her husband, now they wasn't married at the time, but seeing both of them pull up, it's like, they deserve so much better than this. I deserve so much better than this. My family overall, deserves so much better than how I was living. Just that, especially that particular moment, I was so happy to see them, and I'm so grateful that those are the ones that picked me up, because that was definitely a moment that was like, this can't go on anymore. I knew at that moment, once I walked out of that hospital, it was just done.
You know what? You mentioned there how important it was that it was them. You and I both know, in hindsight, that God knew that better than we did, far better than I and far better than you. It's the idea we sometimes question life and go, what are the odds? I'm convinced with God they're 100 to 1, that it's going to work for our best if we'll allow it to. Now, you could have chosen to ignore or to return to, you know, your life of addiction, or you could choose to fight for the future. What did your fight for the future look like? What are some of the changes? What are some of the goals you set? How did you get to where you are now? I know it goes back to God, but
yes.
I also know, I've said it over and over, God will provide you the farm when you pray for it, but he won't drive your tractor. And so how have you fought the battle?
Well, one of the things I've noticed is, like, so, like, I've noticed some people, like, once they get clean, like, they stay at that plateau and they don't really move forward. With myself, I knew that I had to do more than just get clean. I had to work for my family to get their forgiveness back. I had to become a better person. I knew I wanted to get back in school. I talked about that for years, but I knew it definitely wasn't a possibility while I was using. So these are all things. Having something to look forward to, forgiving myself definitely took a big role in that. That took some time. I'm still working on that a little bit. Just knowing that God has my back, knowing that I'm back in school, and I'm very proud of myself for that, because I've been, like I said, I wanted to do that for years, and now I'm doing it. Just having a future to look forward to and having goals, keeping myself active in Brianna's Hope, meeting the wonderful people that I've met. I've met some amazing people on my recovery, and I'm so very thankful for every single one of them. I couldn't have done this alone. I know I couldn't have. I tried that before, and it didn't work. So just having so much love surrounded around me and just getting my life back better than it ever has been. It's taken some time, and I've still got a road to travel. You know, there's still things I need to work on. But it gets better every day.
Go ahead and advise our listeners. This is going to be difficult. Boil it down to 3 steps, or at least give them 3 good steps to take, okay? Should someone be out there who's in the spot where you were, what are 3 steps they need to take?
Realizing your addiction, of course, admitting to that, having accountability, not blaming others for your wrong. And then once you do that, forgiving yourself for sure. And then the third thing is not staying at that plateau, knowing that you have a future. Knowing that you can move past the addiction. You don't have to live there. You definitely don't have to stay in that. You can move past that, and you can be the person that you've wanted to be but didn't know how during your addiction. That is the 3. That would definitely
be. I like
be,
that. Yeah. I like 3 there. Get off the plateau. You can visit there. Don't live there. Keep climbing. There's a mountaintop, and you need to experience that moment. And you can't live on the mountaintop either. You're going to be back to the plateau and in the valley. That's called life.
Yes.
But it's up to us to, you know, to white knuckle it, to pray our way through it, whatever it takes to get to the mountaintop and experience that. And just as you said, to know there's more, to know there's something better. What is it you would want to say to parents who are maybe raising their own Julia at this time, regardless of what their child's name may be?
Show them that you love them. Sometimes it's hard. You know, it's hard to be the parent that we want to be. I'm the poster child for that one because I always wanted to be a better parent, but couldn't. Definitely because of my addiction. Just being there for your children, even on your bad days, be there for your children and love your children. Regardless of what you have going on, just be there.
Be there. You made a comment earlier about how you would, there'd be holiday events with the family. It sounds like you were maybe physically there, but there was no other part of you there. You're
That's
going
right.
through those withdrawals and all the different aspects of that struggle that goes with it. So, yeah. What is it that you would want to tell someone who's in your shoes? How can they find themselves near that mountaintop? How can they get off of that plateau?
Forgiving yourself. Definitely forgiveness. Because that was one of the things that I really struggled with is because I seen what I put my children through. And it's hard. You know, it's hard to forgive yourself.
Does that hurt you more than what you put yourself through?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, we've got another question. Let's get that from Eric. Eric?
Yeah, this is from Desi. Did the entire family forgive you and accept you back? And then how did you work towards repairing those relationships?
Good question, Desi. Thank you.
There's some people in my family that still struggle with forgiving me because they've seen me fall before. Like, I'd get clean, and then I'd relapse.
They're expecting it again.
They are. But I remember my daughter, Heather, she went to a meeting and it really touched my heart when she said it. She said, "Mom, you know, you're doing things different this time." And I am, you know, I'm putting that extra effort out there because before I just stayed on that plateau. I was like, okay, I'm clean, but I wasn't doing anything else. I stayed clean, but I was still dealing with so much and didn't really move past that.
It's one thing to be abstinent from using versus living life as it's meant to be lived. And until you make the changes you want to see, you're not going to reach that point.
Right.
So all of that plays into it. What's a couple of goals? Now, I know you want to finish school. That's an obvious one. But what's a couple of goals that you're really straining to reach that you believe will even make your recovery stronger and more successful?
I want my closeness to God to get better. That is definitely a goal because once I have that connection with God the way I need it, he's going to take care of the rest. Working with my family, getting my family the way I've always wanted it to be. Yeah, you know, we're together. And yeah, things are better. But they're still not where I want them to be yet. And I think God will help us through that.
So you believe it'll get there?
Oh, absolutely. It will.
Not a tomorrow process, but it can be done.
Absolutely.
Amen to that. And I agree with you 100%. Julia, is there anything else that you want the folks to know of your story or something to give them hope? What is a scripture that's seen you through?
My favorite song is Amazing Grace. God has given me so much grace and forgiveness, and I strongly believe, like, if you're in recovery, find your higher power. Mine was God. I know some don't believe in God, and that's totally understand. You know, it's like you have to deal, you know, you have to do it on your own time. Just find your higher power for sure, whatever that may be.
I think that's key to life, whether you're in addiction or whether it's never touched your life, is finding that a higher power, which once you get there, you'll come to recognize the higher power is not a cheeseburger, and it can be by that label, but it's God, and it's real, and it's genuine.
Yes.
And as you've said over and over, it will see you through.
Yes.
He will see you through. That's his goal for us.
Absolutely.
He's got a plan and a purpose, and he wants to see us live it. Yeah. So, well, listen, thank you. Thank you for your honesty, your transparency. I know this isn't always the most simple of things to bear ourselves before others, but it's a privilege to hear it, to have you along. God bless. Take care. Thank you. And listen, folks, continue to tune in each week. We're live on Wednesdays. We'd love to have your questions or comments. On Fridays, this will air on all major podcast platforms. Make sure you get to that. God bless. Take care. And by all means, stay in the battle. Amen.